So he spoke about the kingdom during his ministry. He came for the purpose of the kingdom. And he continued speaking of the kingdom after his resurrection. What do you think he's still speaking about today? Because that's his passion. Kingdom was the passion of Christ. So where are you and I on the passion meter when it comes to the kingdom? What makes you tick? What is the air you breathe? What is the passion of your soul? And so right in the center of the greatest sermon ever told, ever taught, we find the greatest prayer ever prayed. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And it's what the Lord gave us to pray. And interestingly, the first thing that he says that we're to talk to Father about and pray about is the kingdom. So we're in our series on the Sermon on the Mount called Living in the Kingdom. That's what the sermon's about. It's how we live in this kingdom. In today's lesson, which is the 16th or the 17th that we've done, is titled Your Kingdom. Your Kingdom. So if you have your Bibles, I would really like for you to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13. I'll be going to begin there in just a minute talking about the kingdom. We're going to look at a bunch of scriptures today, but while you're finding that, I'm going to pray. Our Father, it's not just the passion of Jesus. It's your passion. He said he didn't say anything without checking it out with you first. So as he relayed his passion, he's relaying your passion. Father, today I want to relay that passion. It's my passion. Father, there's so much confusion about your kingdom. Help us, please, to know what we're praying about, what we're praying for. Would you, by your Spirit, open our ears so we could hear what the Spirit has to say? Would you, by your Spirit, remove confusion from this place? And let us hear what the Scriptures say, and what Jesus said, and what Paul said, and what John said. Would you help us? Would you give us a passion for your kingdom? And let us bring it to our worlds, to our earth. Would you help us today, Lord? In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10, he says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and then your kingdom come." The first thing that he says I want you to pray about, make sure you pray about, is his kingdom. Praying about the kingdom is the first part of a complete prayer. But how many of us have ever really taken time to pray about the kingdom? Now, we've recited the prayer. We've recited the Lord's Prayer, and there's probably no one in this room that couldn't recite that prayer right now. But how many of us have really taken time and talked to Father about his kingdom? Jesus said, I want you to do that. See, a reason that we don't talk to him about the kingdom is because we have been programmed, most of us, have been programmed to think of the kingdom of God as only a futuristic event. Futuristic kingdom. That's not true. Right. For the next several minutes, and we probably won't get out early today, but for the next several minutes, we're going to be talking about the kingdom. I'm going to show you scripture after scripture after scripture, showing you that the kingdom of God is not a futuristic event. In fact, it has been here a long, long time. I'm going to show you that it was here when Jesus came, that the authority of the kingdom changed while Jesus was here. And it's in existence right now, right today. And you can enter it if you want by being born again and being washed and birthed and reborn by the Spirit and water you can come in. And that's what He desires. So what I ask you to do is please get out pen and paper. I know it's going to be on tape, and that's fine too, but please take some notes, because I'm going to show you a scripture that what I'm going to show you today, the enemy is going to try to come and take from you. You see, when the sower goes forth to sow the seed, and some of the seed falls on the pathway, immediately, if you don't understand it, immediately the evil one comes to take the seed away, to take away what you've learned. And that's the seed of the kingdom. And so what we're going to be showing you today is this. So I really encourage you. And hopefully by the end of our lesson today, you'll say, we really are living in the kingdom of God today. So, let's begin. So I want to begin by showing you that the kingdom of God is not something new or futuristic. Now, I'm going to show you through the scriptures. I'm not going to give you doctrine. I'm just going to give you scriptures. Kingdom of God is not something new, nor is it futuristic. David wrote about this kingdom 1,000 years before Jesus was born, 3,000 years ago as we speak today. So the kingdom of God has been in existence. So let's start in Psalms 145 and verse 13. And it says here, your kingdom is what? An everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made. The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. The kingdom of God exists in every generation. Hello? The kingdom of God is not something new or futuristic. It's here, and it's available to this generation today. It's been here for 3,000 years at least, and it'll be here when you and I leave. Because it's everlasting. And the Lord wants you in this kingdom. Listen, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. He wants you saved. He wants you to pray a prayer that you receive Him. But His passion is that you come into His kingdom. Hear me. You can be born again, but not be in the kingdom. You can be born again and see it. I'll show you in just a second. But not enter it. You've got to be a little violent to enter it. You have to lay hold of it to enter it. I'm going to show you all of this. Just kind of setting it up. Let me show you what Daniel said. And if you've got your Bibles and you turn to the passage that I spoke to you about, you're right there in Daniel. Daniel received a vision about the kingdom. And he recorded that vision for us. And it's recorded in Daniel chapter 7. And it concerns three specific things. And I want to make sure that we get these three things that we're about to see. The thing that Daniel records for us here is, first of all, the change of the authority of the kingdom. It was always a kingdom. But what Daniel sees is the authority of the kingdom changes. The second thing Daniel is going to talk about is the expansion of the kingdom. It's not just for the Jews. It's for all nations. And then he's going to talk to us about the third thing. He's going to show us about the duration of the kingdom. So let's look at this now in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. Would you say son of man back to me? Son of man. Now, the reason I want you to see that is because that was the favorite term that Jesus used to identify himself. He always called himself the son of man. Who do men say that I, the son of man, am? And so Daniel saw, and this is his reference. When Jesus talks about himself being the son of man, this is his reference in Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. Now, do you see the picture? The son of man is coming on the clouds. Now, what is that a picture of? What are you seeing here? You need to make sure we're all on the same page. Is this futuristic or past, or what are you seeing here? Pardon? See, okay, that's good too. What Daniel is seeing a vision of is the ascension of Christ. As Jesus ascended on the clouds. What Daniel was seeing was a vision of the ascension of Jesus Christ as he came into the heavenlies, as he came into the throne. And verse 14 says, He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men in every language worshiped Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. It's difficult for me to find 7 years where there's a parenthetical time here. It will never be destroyed. His kingdom is everlasting. Now let's go. The three things that Daniel saw and make sure that we get, he gives here. He was first of all given authority. Jesus, the Son of Man, was given authority. This was when he received authority. The kingdom has changed authority. From the time that it was before the Son of Man ascended, Jesus says, all authority and all power has been what? Been given me. So this is what we're talking about here. He's been given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. It's no longer only for the Jews or Judaism. It's all changing. And then it says, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion. So there's the third thing, is the dominion is forever. Once this king starts taking over, he's going to be king for a long, long time. Everlasting dominion. So that's what Daniel saw. Daniel saw about this kingdom. He saw the ascension of Christ. Now, I can't explore it right now with you, but make a note, if you will, please. This is shown us better. A video is given to us far better in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. As this ascension took place, and there was no man found in heaven or earth or under the earth to take the seals and open the book, the Biblion, the book, the seals. That was sealed with seven seals within and without. Written within and without. And John says, I looked and there was nobody around to open the seals. And then the elder came to him and says, but behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is found worthy to open the book, to open the seals. And John said, he turned and looked, and there was the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. And he took that perfectly sealed book that Daniel talks about at the end of his writings here in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, and he opened it. And all the vials and all the trumpets came forth. And you know what the book of Revelation is about there. Now, you'd have a difficult time persuading Saddam Hussein that those seals weren't being opened. And that the Son of Man is not riding through the earth today. This is what's happening. The kingdom is advancing. Now, whether we see that or not, that's what's happening because he is king and he is on the throne. And the kingdom of God is advancing forcibly. Now, hang with me. Okay? Every once in a while, you're given an opportunity to share something that so rattles our thinking, but is so undefinably able to shake. I mean, you cannot... This is something you're going to have a difficult time arguing with, but it is something that will so radically change our belief system. You see, we're people of faith, but doctrine determines what we believe. What we're taught, what people teach us, what we understand about scriptures determine what we believe, and our belief determines our faith. So to have proper faith, I need proper doctrine. If I want to be a person of faith, a person that has my faith in the right, a man of faith, a woman of faith, if I want that, then I've got to have some good doctrine. So just study these things out. Don't just say this guy's a fruitcake, because I am not a fruitcake. Okay, let's see if I'm not. That could be debatable, but anyway. Shortly before the inauguration of Jesus, At his water baptism of Jesus, the forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist, said this in Matthew 3:2, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And the King James Bible says, at hand. Now, how can the kingdom be near or be at hand if it was already here? Okay? How can it be near or at hand if it had already been in existence over 1,000 years? How could that be? So let me show you just a little Greek here about with this word near or at hand. Let me show you this word in the Greek. It's engizo. And it means to bring near, to join one thing to another. To bring near or to hook it up or to join it with what's already happening. Now, I honestly don't think that Father God or Jesus or even John the Baptist was really confused about what we were talking about here. That he understood that being near or being at hand was not 3,000, 4,000, 2,000 years away. He was hooking it up right then. For example, Donald Rumsfeld this week, the Secretary of Defense, said this to the Iraqis. The day of your liberation may soon be at hand. Now, was he talking about 1,000 years from now or 2,000 years from now or 3,000 years from now? What was he talking about? Was it already in action? Was the groundwork already being laid? Were the troops already in place? Were the tanks there? Was everything already ready to bring their liberation? And so when John the Baptist said, it's near, it's at hand, he's not talking about a long time away. He's about to hook something up. He's about to make a big change in the kingdom. God is about to make some drastic changes in the way the kingdom was ran and the way the kingdom operated. And that's exactly what John talked about in his whole ministry. John the Baptist, you remember the guy with the camel skin and eating the locust, you know, kind of strange guy. But anyway, his message was this. It was that of the kingdom. And in Matthew 3:7, here's what it says. This is John the Baptist preaching. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from what? The coming wrath. Something's coming. Something was coming that would change and shake everything. Verse 10, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Who's he speaking of? Speaking, of course, of Jesus Christ, verse 12, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So when John the Baptist says that the kingdom of God is near or at hand, he meant serious change is about to happen. The axe is already laid at the root. It's already in position. It'd be like taking the chaff and separating it from the wheat and burning the chaff and keeping the wheat. It's like taking an unproductive tree and whacking that thing down so that it can produce fruit, so that what is there can be fruitful and produce fruit. And John says, serious change is on the way. It's about to hook up. It's about to be joined right now in the program of God, and it's about to take place. Jesus said that John the Baptist was the defining moment that separated the old kingdom from the new kingdom, or the law and prophets, that what Moses had produced, and that's what Moses had said, and what the Pharisees taught. John the Baptist was the defining moment. When John came, things changed. Let me show you. In Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Help me. The law and the prophets were proclaimed how long? Until John. Jesus is talking here. This is Jesus. Since that time. Since what time? Since John. Since John the Baptist, since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached. And everyone is forcing his way into it. Now, what are we forcing our way into? The kingdom. You know, Jesus said that John was a defining moment, the line of demarcation. Things of Moses and Old Covenant were in authority up until that time. But since that time, now, it's the gospel of the kingdom. It's what Jesus taught us about in the Sermon on the Mount. It's his teachings. That's what's in authority now. So what does this forcing his way into it mean? What's that all about? Coming into the kingdom of heaven is a little more difficult than we preachers sometimes make it out to be. And by what we're learning in the lessons in the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll see shortly that you can be born again and see the kingdom but not enter it. We're going to see that in just a second. But it requires more than a prayer to come into the kingdom. For example, Jesus has already told us about the attitudes of our heart. The old covenant began with 10 commandments. Jesus begins his with 8 beatitudes. Attitudes of your heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See the kingdom of God. That's just the beginning. You can see it. Then he moves through those 8 attitudes of our heart, and he tells us how our attitudes must be if we're going to further on and go into the kingdom of heaven. And he says, now listen, he says, you've heard it in times past. It said like this, thou shalt not kill. But I say, up to John, you shall not kill. But I say, what? Don't get angry. Keep your heart right. Don't call people names. Don't get in a name calling. You've heard it said in times past, thou shalt not commit adultery. That was up until... But I say, keep that out of your heart. If you start lusting after somebody in your heart, bad shape. You've heard in times past, but I say. And we've saw all of those things. He says you got to have your heart right about these particular things. You got to have your heart right about giving. You got to have your heart right about prayer. And after we do the prayer, he's going to talk about fasting. Believers fast. And these are the things, all that happened up until John. But after John, since that time, we have to force our way into it. These things aren't easy to do. It's not easy to control our anger. It's not easy to make sure our marriage is the way is supposed to be. It's not easy to keep away from lust. It's not easy to keep our prayer or our giving right. It's not easy to love your enemies. It's not easy to forgive. And you have to violently lay hold on that and force your way in. Another thing that was difficult and why it was difficult to get in the kingdom was the Pharisees and the teachers of his day. They shut the door up. They keep people out. And it's very similar today. I'll talk about that in a second. But if you're looking for a futuristic kingdom and you don't realize that there is one now, then you're not even thinking about entering it. Now, we'll get there in just a second. The event began with John the Baptist. It was up until John, and since that time, the kingdom is advancing. Now, let me show you this. Matthew 11:12 says this. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Book of Revelation, chapter 19, talks about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as he rides through the nations on the white horse. And all of his saints following him. It's his army. We're his army. We are the army of God. And what we do is we ride through the nations bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a part of what we're seeing right now in the East, in the Middle East, what we're seeing right now is the King riding. Now, I know we don't understand all that. But he's preparing a way for the gospel to be preached there. The church has been advancing the kingdom since the time of John the Baptist until now. Jesus spoke a woe to the Pharisees and the teachers of the laws, the people that he had entrusted to preach this kingdom and to take it to all nations. And they did it. They just kept it right there in that little temple. And Jesus says, you know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Woe to you. And let me show you this. In Matthew 23:13. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. And what's immediately going to happen? That's why I want you to get this tape or write down scripture so that you'll have some weaponry. Because immediately you're going to go home today and you're going to turn the television on and you're going to hear, oh my goodness, this has to be the beginning of the end. And all the wars and pestilence and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all that stuff, you know, and it's going to be immediately snatched out of your heart. And they're shutting the kingdom up. It was given to the church. The authority, woe to you, you Pharisees. I'm going to take the kingdom from you and I'm going to give it to people that's going to bring the fruit. Because you're shutting it up to people. You're not letting people in. Now, please see. Please hear me. That bad teaching and bad doctrine shuts the kingdom of heaven up. Again, put that one back up there, please. Matthew 13:13. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You teachers of the law. You preachers. You Pharisees. I mean. You shut it up. You keep people out that are really trying to go on in God and enter the kingdom of heaven. You shut it out by your teaching, by your doctrine. Please see that. And don't listen to me. Don't listen to any preacher. Get this thing out. You can, if you don't have one of these, go, there's a Christian bookstore. Walmart's got them. They've got them everywhere. Get and read it and see what it says for yourself. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Word of God. Okay. Next verse is going to be Matthew 21:43, where it's taken from them, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and given to the people that's going to bring the fruit. Look at 21:43. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. So there had to be a kingdom to take. It's taken away from you. And given to a people who will produce its fruit. And it's advancing. His church is advancing the kingdom. Now, did that happen? Did what Jesus said right here happen? Was it taken from them and given to a people that will produce the fruit? Yes, it was. Now, you got to hear this part. And I don't have time to do a teaching. I'm just going to throw it out here. And you can look it up. It happened to that generation. Jesus said, all these things are going to come on this generation. He said that in Matthew 23:33. He said that in Matthew 24:36-34. Mark 13:30. Luke 21:32. And in AD 70, one generation, the temple was destroyed. That religious system of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law was brought down, just as he said, not one stone would stand upon another. Now you can look at this up in any encyclopedia, any historic resource records this event. And you can look it up and see for yourself. The tree was cut down, just as John the Baptist said. Unquenchable fire burned the chaff. This was the meaning of Jesus. He says it's ending. And some of you, Jesus talking to his disciples, said this. Some of you standing here, looking at me right now, talking to me right now, will not die until you see my kingdom come. You see me come in my kingdom. Let me show you. Matthew 16:28. This one used to give me brain freeze. You know, it's one of those scriptures, you know, every ice cream and your brain freezes. I'd hit this verse and then my brain would freeze. Matthew 16:28. I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here, talking to his disciples, will not taste death before they see the Son of Man. The who? Son of Man, the guy Daniel was talking about, the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. His kingdom. Now it's his kingdom because the authority has changed. Now either those guys are still alive or we have a kingdom. Mark 9:1 says the same thing. And he said to them, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. Again, it wasn't that it was a new kingdom. It was a continuation of the kingdom. It was near. It was there. It was hooked up. The authority changed. The kingdom authority now that Jesus is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is now giving kingship of the kingdom. Matthew 4:23 says this. Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching what? the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Now, the reason that I'm using that verse there is to show you kingdom authority. Kingdom authority was able to heal every disease and sickness among the people. He was now giving authority. Now, it says there good news. The good news. I have a newspaper. This is a Sunday paper. It's news. It's a newspaper. It's not telling me what's going to happen 3,000 years from now. It told me what happened last night. It tells me what happened yesterday. Very little in here about what's going to happen tomorrow. Much less 3,000 years from now. Jesus preached the good news. He preached a current event. Yeah, I like that. It's good news. Not prophecies. Good news. And he says, it's here. My kingdom is here. I'm the authority of it now. I can cast out devils. And he says this, if I can do it by the finger of God, you will know that it's come upon you. Is that what he said? Well, let me show you, in case you didn't. Let me show you. Here, in Luke 11:20. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come. Not will come. Has come to you. See, Jesus was the kingdom authority. Only Jesus was given this authority. And he gave his disciples, his guys, authority. He said, I want you to go, and I want you to go out there, and I want you to do what I've done. You go now. And he gave us the keys of the kingdom. You know, we're always binding and loosening as Christians, you know. But we never realize that we're really using the keys of the kingdom. Let me show you. In Matthew 16:19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We have keys to an existing kingdom that's already here. It's already built. We have keys to it, and we have the ability to open it and shut it. And what we bind is locked out, and what we open is opened up. It's keys of the kingdom. It was interesting to me that before Jesus was crucified, tax collectors and prostitutes were converting and entering the kingdom. Now, religious people weren't. The Pharisees who were shutting the door and keeping people out were not. But the people that were receiving his kingdom were coming right into it. Now let me show you. Matthew 21:31. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. Yeah. The disciples thought they were in the kingdom as they walked with Jesus. Matthew 18:1 says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then as today, people have difficulty understanding what I'm telling you. They had trouble then. They have trouble today. Jesus tells us and warns us, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware, be careful, be extra cautious of who you listen to and who teaches you. He says, teaching greatly hinders entrance into the kingdom. It'll stop it. It'll shut the door to it. Jesus says that when we are taught the message of the kingdom and we don't understand, that's why I try to be so clear on this and just show scriptures. But we don't understand, he says, immediately, the evil one comes and snatches it away. Let me show you. Matthew 13:19. When anyone, no one's immune to this. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Pathway soil. It's the seed that didn't get in. Seed we didn't understand. So you need to study this. You need to get your Bible out. You need to get the Word of God out and just open it up and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow Him to talk to you about His kingdom, because God wants you to talk to Him about the kingdom. He wants to explain it to us. One tremendous problem with understanding the kingdom is that it was taught as a coming externally, just as it's taught today. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, this thing's going to come down and, you know, settle here or something. But it's taught as a coming external kingdom. It was taught that way then. In the days of Jesus, they were waiting for this celestial war thing to happen, God to come with all of His angels and wipe away all the Romans and establish the natural kingdom again. And we're kind of looking for the same thing. We're looking for this celestial war, you know, God coming out of heaven and wiping away all those sinners and burning them up, and so that we can have a kingdom. And Jesus never taught that. He never went there. He never taught that. Here's what He taught. Luke 17:20. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come out of space. It doesn't come with careful observation. It's not going to come where you can really see it. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." You see, the kingdom is your attitudes. The kingdom is having a lifestyle that leads you into abundance. The kingdom is living according to the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is the Holy Spirit bringing the kingdom internally. Not externally, internally. Paul says in Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, the entire born-again experience, the purpose of the born-again experience is so that we can come to a place of seeing the kingdom. Let me show you. John 3:3, very familiar passage. Everybody can quote this one as well. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." You must be born again. But no one can what? See the kingdom of God unless he's born again. The born-again experience in receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the born-again experience, and you begin to see the kingdom of God. Then Jesus went on in verse 5 of that same chapter, John 3:5, and talking to Nicodemus, the same guy. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." See, we're born of the Spirit in our hearts, then our attitudes become adjusted. We care about the things of God. We begin to properly maintain our anger. We won't kill because we won't get angry. We properly watch over our lives, our marriage, our lust, our enemies. It doesn't say you won't have them, you just love them. You properly take care of being truthful. You properly make sure that your giving is where it should be, and you properly make sure that your praying should be, and your fasting, and these kinds of things. And those are the things that the Spirit of God does within us, and He washes us. And I don't know that anything's been said about it yet or not, but let me make sure I mention it. We're going to have water baptism next week, right here. And we haven't pushed it and said a whole lot, but I would love to baptize you if you need rebaptism or if you want to be baptized for the first time. Just bring some clothes. And at the end of the service, we're going to walk up here and we're going to baptize people. And that's a part of entering the kingdom, because you're born of water and Spirit. It's important. Okay. Jesus said the Father has been pleased to give us the kingdom. Let me show you this one in Luke 12:32. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." It's ours if we want it. The Bible tells us that if we have been born again and born of the Spirit and water, that we've been brought into the kingdom. Colossians 1:13 says this, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." We've been brought into the kingdom of the Son of God if we have been born of water and Spirit. Not only just see it, you can enter it. How am I doing? Okay. Good. John, the writer of the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, was in the kingdom as he wrote on the Isle of Patmos. He was in the kingdom on the Isle of Patmos. Let me show you. Revelation 1:9. "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the Isle of Patmos because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus." You know, the reason, I am by no way exhausting the scriptures we could use here, but one reason that I use this one is for this reason. You know, sometimes living in the kingdom is not streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearls. Sometimes you want to see that. You wished it were. You know, sometimes. Paul wrote this, "By much tribulation we enter the kingdom of God." He says here that I was, but you know what? A lot of times I found that even though I'm on the Isle of Patmos, I'm in exile, and I'm going through great suffering, it's that time that I get a real revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm caught up, and I see the glory of God. And I see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I see the Lamb slain from the foundation. And I see the Bride of Christ. Amen. Continuing on in the book of... I'm taking you through the whole Bible. You understand what I'm doing here? We're going through the Old Testament, New Testament, the whole... Okay, good. Revelation 1:6 says, "And has made us to be a kingdom and priest." Not a kingdom of priests, but a kingdom and priest. "To serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever." We are the kingdom of God. We have to be because it's within us. We are the church. This building, this sheetrock and banners and carpet and chairs, it's not the church. You and I are the church. And Christ rules in our hearts, in our lives. And wherever we go, we take His kingdom. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He's made us to be a kingdom and priest. And priest to serve Him. Priest to minister to others. Priest. And then in Revelation 5:10, it tells us where we're supposed to reign as kings. "You have made them to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Hello. You're going to reign right here. In fact, you're reigning right now. In fact, you've been given dominion. Jesus says, "I've been given all power and all dominion. Now you take it and you go. You go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." We are a kingdom. And we now reign. We now reign our own earths, our own lives. My time's up, so I've got to end. So what's the consensus? Is there a present kingdom? See, it'd be difficult to convince me there wasn't. But Jesus said this, "Pray, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So if the Bible teaches me to pray it come, why should I pray for it to come if it was here before Jesus came? He brought a kingdom. Why is He telling me to pray for it to come? Well, we never finish out that verse as we read that. "The kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Now, if you're thinking again of heaven as a long ways off, we looked at this last week. Don't have time to recap on that one. But where is heaven? What is a biblical definition of heaven? The throne of God. It's not on the earth as it is in His throne. Pray His kingdom will be right just like here, like if you were sitting in His throne. bring his kingdom to our earths, just like the earth was the throne of God. Your kingdom come. And your will be done. And you can't separate. We'll talk about the will of God next week. But you can't separate the kingdom and the will. It's their passion. Father's passion and the Lord's passion. Pray. So the Bible teaches the kingdom of God has been around a long time. It was a present reality when Jesus came. He took it from that system and he gave it to the church. And now it's forcefully advancing. And we're going on with the kingdom of heaven. We are receiving a kingdom. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom. Is that present tense, past tense, future tense? We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably, with reverence and awe. See, God wants the kingdom to come to humanity. All peoples, just like Daniel said. The authority part's been taken care of. Jesus has been given all authority. The part that we're now looking for is to bring it to all nations and all peoples if they worship Him. It's going from, as the skit portrayed, from here being a church that's just concerned about things to being a church that goes into all nations and brings people into the kingdom. It's got to become the air we breathe. It's got to become the passion of the church. It's got to become what we're really, really about. The kingdom hasn't come that way yet, but it will. It's going to. It's going to. So do you pray for the kingdom? Have you ever prayed for the kingdom? I hope you will now. Hope you pray for it. When I pray for the kingdom of God to come, I pray first of all that it will come in my life. I want to live out the kingdom. I want the kingdom lived in me. I want to be an example of a kingdom person. I want God's throne to rule in me in every area of my life. I want Him to come in me. And that's the first thing I pray. Then I want Him to come in my family. I want every member of my family to worship God, to serve Him. I want to leave a heritage. I want to leave generations that talk about the kingdom. I pray for Him to come into this church. I want Him to come in your lives. I want Him to establish His throne in your life. I don't want you just to see it. I want you to enter it. And I want you to have a life in that more abundantly. I pray for God to bless you in every area, spirit, soul, and body, every day. I want Him to come in my life, in my family's life, in this church, in every person here. And I want Him to come into this region. You see, most churches haven't even received the kingdom yet. And I pray that every church will begin to preach the kingdom with a passion, just like Jesus did. That they finally realize that's what we're really here to do, isn't it? Is to preach the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. We'll stop waiting on something that's going to happen futuristically. We'll start realizing and understanding God is really doing something in our lives and in this place right now. I want that so much. I want to be used by Father. I ask Him to allow us to find ways to reach our region, our earth, with the kingdom of God. To let them know there is a kingdom and we can have it. We can enjoy it right now. So, Matthew 6:10 says, "Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven." Bring it, Lord. Bring Your kingdom. And here's the bottom line. The bottom line is there is a kingdom. God has one. And it's available to you right now. And God desires more than anything for you to come into it. As we were portraying in that skit, Jesus begging us to go out and bring people into the kingdom of God. And He's doing that right now. He wants you in His kingdom. He gave His only Son so that you could have entrance into the kingdom of God. He came with a passion for people. A passion to have a kingdom people that would go into all this earth. And if you're not in the kingdom of God, you don't know Jesus Christ, please make this the day. If you've gotten away from God, if you've gotten away from Jesus, and you've slipped back, oh, please let this be the day that you change. He has a kingdom of abundance for you and I. He says, "I come to give men life, not death, but life and that more abundantly." He wants us to live an abundant life, a healthy life. He wants to cast out devils and heal all manners of sicknesses. He wants to bring abundance into your life and my life. He wants us to be a people that shine and salt the earth. How about it? How about it? He has a kingdom, and He's inviting you in. Let's pray.